Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
There are shows with psychics.
And there are shows with doctors.
But there's no show like The Psychic and the Doc.
Your practical paranormal power unleashed.
This show synthesizes the talents of world-class medium Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, psychic explorer,
and street-smart spiritualist, behavioral psychologist, Dr. Pat Vasily. All subjects are on the table, and no topic is taboo. Inspiration, insight,
action, and fun as Mark Anthony connects callers with loved ones in spirit.
In tandem with Dr. Pat's fresh, no-nonsense, street-smart, intuitive insights. And she is hilarious.
Extraordinary problems
require extraordinary solutions, which may come from this side
or the other side. This is The Psychic
and the Doc. And it starts now. Hi, I'm Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, psychic explorer, and welcome to The Psychic and the Doc. Today's Thanksgiving show, we are honored to have Janice Short as our guest. She's a world-renowned global influencer and mindset coach in the health and wellness industry. And Jenna is not only a wellness practitioner, but she's a best-selling author, public speaker, and host of the podcast, Oh My Health, There Is Hope. She's also the editor-in-chief of Best Holistic Life magazine. Jenna has recently been recognized and featured on the cover of Los Angeles Entrepreneur magazine in September of 2020 and on Monica Garga's Influential Women of the World Global Influencers in 2020. She's also made the cover of Las Vegas Entrepreneurs magazine, Top 25 Entrepreneurs for 2020. And let me tell you, I know Janet personally, and we are in for a special treat. I'm Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, and my host is...
Hey, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the other half of this amazing Psychic and the Doc team. I'm excited about this. I'm really excited about this because, I mean, look at this. Here we are today, and we are trying to figure out what next steps we take. But guess what? We are the last people to take care of ourselves, right? Oh, is she going to talk about that again? No, I'm not. I'm going to kick it back to you, Mark.
Well, you know what happens is for people, not just like ourselves, but people who are the head of families, moms especially are in the role of being everyone's personal messiah in the family and taking care of everyone else. And this Thanksgiving is different than anyone I've ever been through because we're dealing with a pandemic. We're living in a volatile social and political climate, and people are under a lot of stress. A lot of folks are out of jobs right now, and Thanksgiving is supposed to be a time to give thanks and family togetherness. And there's a big question if even we're capable of doing that. And so we thought that the one person that could shed some light on this outside of Dr. Pat is Jana Short. So Jana, welcome to the show. And, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave a speech during the Great Depression, which was probably the time that we can analogize most closely to what's happening in 2020. People were afraid. People were out of work. And his enduring comment was, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. But fear is an ever-present gripping sensation, which is crippling people from you know, all over the world, not just in the United States. Jana, how do you recommend people confront and deal with fear?
Well, one of the first things I try to explain to people as a mindset coach is fear is perceived in the brain exactly like excitement. So sometimes it's really hard to get excited over a fear, but if you tell your brain, you retrain your brain to think that this is an excitement sort of thing, like COVID is not that exciting. I'll be really honest.
I'll agree with you there.
But some magical things are coming out of it, right? We're on the edge of finding a vaccine for COVID. There's some incredible things coming out. And one of the most incredible things for me is that additional time I've gotten with my family and to slow down and focus on my health and what those needs are. So there are some great things coming out of it. But one of the things I would really tell you is that your brain perceives fear exactly like it does excitement. And so if you just retrain it, it will help release some of that anxiety.
Wow, that's really interesting. You know, and I'm going to do something a little bit different here. All right, Dr. Pat, you're the behavioral psychologist. What do you say? Do you agree that fear is perceived or reacted to by the brain the same way excitement is?
I've got to go to one of the most intimidating interviews I've done in 16 years, Richard Simmons. And anybody that interviews Richard has got to know one thing. You will not get a question out. And so Richard said to me in no uncertain terms, honey, you got to move your buns. You've got to move your buns. So I brought a prop. Now, I got to tell you, each side is not for one side of my cheek or the other. This is a prop. And where am I going with this? The least thing we want to do is remember what will send the good endorphins, the good juice. We don't want to remember that we can pump in good juice into our neurons, into all these connectors, like some gazillion billion of them up here. We don't think about that. So I have to think about Richard Simmons every time I'm sitting on the couch and I think I want to flip through some of my favorite, like Netflix, Apple TV. And why don't we watch 3 days of that series all at once? And I remember him saying, like for an hour, honey, you got to move your buns. Now, what has got to do with today's show? Well, I really attribute some of that and some of what he said to me for me to literally go back out and start to play table tennis again and do some other things. But when you hear it an hour show, like 1,000 times from him, and he's talking to you as the host, you don't forget it. So my question really is, we're in a unique opportunity for every one of us to literally change the world in a way that masters, Dalai Lamas, I don't care who you talk to in the spiritual realm or the consciousness realm, they have all said the same thing. But to your point, Jana, there's never been an opportunity where we're seeing people do it real time. And I would just take a moment and just acknowledge all of the men and women and children. I don't think since my life, I have seen collectives of families literally enact unique transformative changes within themselves and their lives. And we talk about the downside of this, but I know, Jana, I know, Mark, you, we're seeing people do things they've never done before.
Yes.
Learn in ways they've never learned before. Plug in to positive talk radio and plug into what you have to say, Jana, in ways that they've never done before. And would this have happened without COVID? Maybe, but we got from 0 to 120, like skydiving, which I love to do, 0 to 120 in a nanosecond of time, like the dinosaurs weren't even a thought. That's what I think. I don't know how much that had to do with psychology, but I just thought, that's really what I'm seeing in the world today.
So Jana, building on what Dr. Patch said, how do you feel that COVID has given opportunities for people?
It's given them opportunities to do what they truly love. So a lot of people have been stuck in their jobs, having this passion to be somewhere else. And they've had nothing but time. I love it.
I don't know where the props came from, just saying.
They've had nothing but time to actually live in their zone of joy and passion and create something new. So people who know me know I was an interior designer for years, and I got into health and wellness business because an illness got me out of that. So something dark turned me into something like I'm living my passion now. And so I see a lot of people pivoting and moving into their zone of genius and living their passion because they had no other choice at the time.
Amen, yeah, sister.
Yeah, you know.
Amen. I'm not kidding. I mean, I've told this story before. I mean, 6 months after paying a large sum of money to do 13 weeks of internet only in 2003. By the way, nobody was listening to the internet. But 13 weeks after that, starting to doubt myself, I came down with a mystery disease. I went from totally healthy to totally sick. And the only thing I could do for the next 15 years was to continue to buy airtime and do this thing that I love. How can we help people see that light through the dark?
Wow. If I had the answer to that, I would, wow. I don't have the answer for that, but I do have the answer for this. Whatever you intuitively feel, start leaning into that. And for me, it took an illness to move into that. And for you, it took like one of those eye openers, but we're all in that eye opener right now. And so I definitely would say lean into that passion. There will become a way. When I leaned into this, I knew nothing about social media. I knew nothing about working on the computer. This was not my bag. I had to learn everything from scratch at the very beginning. And I will be really honest, there's a lot of it I still don't know how to do, but I found geniuses who could do it for me. But I leaned into it. And once I leaned into it, it all opened up. There was a way because I was living my passion.
Well, Jana, your podcast, Oh My Health, There Is Hope, is really turned out to be quite the hit. So that seems to be something that launched during the COVID era, didn't it?
No, that's been around a year and it came out of a book. So I was asked to write my story and I'm always a backseat girl. So when they asked me, I'm like, oh, I can't write a whole book. But I kept having all these people tell me parts of their story. So I grabbed all those incredible people and put it in the book, Oh My Health, There Is Hope. But I didn't want to stop there. I saw the ripple effect that was going out into the world with these incredible stories of hope. And so I created the podcast a year ago, and we literally had over 140,000 downloads in less than a year, because people, they can relate to your story. They can relate to your vulnerability. I don't know if any of you know this, but I just heard this story recently. Did you know when Superman was created, he was a flop? Their character in Marvel was a flop until they introduced kryptonite.
Right.
And kryptonite made him vulnerable. It made us like root for him and fear for him and root him on when he goes past it. And he became this incredible Superman. So it worked. We all have to share our kryptonite, right? We all have to share that we're all vulnerable. And when we share that in our story and how we came out of it, it becomes this powerful impact that goes out into the world. So I love that people come on and share their stories of hope.
Go ahead, Dr.
So
Pat.
So look, what you're talking about is a level of relatability. People ask me, what do I think about authenticity? And I don't have a lot of thoughts about it because I think it's very hard for people to get to that place. But relatability, see, that's different. That's the part where we get to show up who we are, right? This is us. We get to say things that come from our heart and that we relate to everyday street smart things that people are going through, right? And see, what you did is brilliant because it's all in the stories we share in the collective of humanity, right?
I truly believe that your story is what makes you unique and authentic. And when you tell it, it's like shining that beacon of light out into the world and sending those little heartbeats from your story and your lives out to touch others and draw them in. So I think telling your story is so powerful that I am constantly getting people's story and getting them out there.
I have a question. In your blog, you write a lot about the vulnerability like you're talking about today. And like Dr. Pat's saying, being vulnerable makes you relatable. But speaking on behalf of my gender, for men, we're not supposed to be vulnerable, you know, and this is like the grief work that I do, men who are afraid to cry when they're grieving for a loved one. So what advice, Jana, do you have for men about showing and embracing their vulnerability?
Well, I can tell you that I think there's nothing more sexier than a man showing his vulnerability because one, they trust you. One, I become more relatable to them. So men, it is super sexy. That doesn't mean I want you crying at every single movie or at the drop of a hat, but women find that you can tap into your emotions and express them with us extremely sexy. So if you want to be sexy, start being real.
Okay.
Yeah, let me, can I add something about this? Just to be really clear for a minute. The men that started the human potential movement, I'm gonna go back a few years, so I don't know how old you two were, but those people that started the human potential movement, when we look at the men, they have one thing in common that they shared. And I know men don't like to talk about this as vulnerable, but even when you go back and you talk to Jack Canfield about how Chicken Soup for the Soul got done, or Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Rich, I don't know, whatever that book was, or whoever the, when you go back and you hear their stories, they have one thing in common. They failed and then they overcame that failure. So even though they don't talk about vulnerability so much, they have the market on using fail and overcoming obstacles. And it has been part of that. You know, they just don't do it crying, but they do talk about the fact that they were down and out, 165 rejections of Chicken Soup for the Soul. And somehow they got dragged to this one last place where they were down in Florida, down and out. They walked around the publisher's house and they went and they're on the way out. And there's this one lousy little booth over there with this man over there. And they stopped by the booth, Mark and Jack. And they stopped, and they're like, here's my book, Chicken Soup for the Soul. And the publisher guy's like, oh, I love it. Now, all the other publishers that said no, they're not really laughing. So you want to talk about vulnerability, that's them. But this is a place where I guess the question is, how do we honor each person's view when we do become vulnerable? How do we show that level of empathy and compassion for each other when maybe My male friend cries during Sleepless in Seattle. It's okay. I don't even cry through that movie.
I hate to admit I never saw it. But I've been sleepless and I've been to Seattle. So maybe that would count. So Jana, what is your antidote for kryptonite for you, for Jana Short?
I really don't have an antidote for kryptonite because I embrace it. I embrace all the negative feedback. I embrace all of my mistakes because, by the way, I've never made a mistake and I never failed because I consider it feedback. So Thomas Edison, when you ask him how many tries to make a light bulb, right? He failed how many times? Over 900 times, I think it was. And he said, those were just feedback, right? It was that many steps it took me to get there. And in this journey of life for me, to me, it's just another step, right? It's a learning moment. It's another step. And it's something I embrace. So I don't see that in it. But I will tell you what you're talking about, men being vulnerable. I raised three daughters and a son, and nothing touched my heart more than to look over at the man that I raised these children with and see a tear roll down his eyes when his daughter comes down the aisle, or when they pick them up right at school for the very first day of kindergarten. You see that emotion come out. Nothing makes them more sexy to you. I'm telling you, you'll keep them around.
You know, that's an interesting point, that there's no antidote for the kryptonite, that you embrace the vulnerability. And, you know, I've always heard that you have to stop looking at something as a mistake and instead look at it as a lesson. What are your thoughts on that?
100% for me, everything is feedback. There are no mistakes. Everything I do, if I touch a pot knowing it's hot and I got burnt, I got such good feedback that I'm not touching that pot again, right? So it's all feedback. Sometimes I need multiple feedback before I actually figure out the lesson. But after almost dying, like when you get that close to death and you are like, people ask what that was like. I'm like, it's got to feel like what it feels like to walk into the gas chamber being sentenced, right? You have this dread and this horrible feeling that the hope is gone. And here I am 9 years later, and it's not gone. If you have breath in your lungs, you still have hope. And even if you don't have hope, because we're not supposed to live forever, you can make the best out of the moments you do have here. So I definitely have switched the way I see negativity since that moment in my life. I embrace it all. And if we were all getting good stuff, it wouldn't feel good, right? We wouldn't recognize it as good stuff without those little dips in the low.
Dr. Pat, I want to ask you, a lot of people feel that like what Jana just said, if we were all on this level and everything was wonderful, a lot of people seem to feel that without adversity, without life lessons, without what people could consider failure, we don't grow personally or spiritually. What's your thought on that?
I look at it, I agree with you completely, and I look at it a little bit differently. I look at it because we are individuals in relationship to each other. If we were meant to experience the slide and glide of life, I would have been given my own planet. I would have picked Jupiter, right? That's where I would have gone. I would have had my planet. You'd have had your planet. Somebody would have gotten stuck with Saturn, but oh, my Saturn friends are going to email me on this. All right, I take it back. I take it back. But even Saturn, in all of its glory, teaches us a lesson. And so the way I look at it is, it's not so much about the challenges that help us grow. It's about what we go through with each other that gives us the opportunity to grow. Because sometimes you could step in a pile of you know what, and you're just thinking, I ain't going to grow. I'm just going to get the deeper shoes. But that to me is the key. And I just want to say one thing. I've had a lot of angels in my life. I had an angel when I was homeless. I had an angel when I was arrested for something I didn't do in the courthouse at 19 years old. I've had a lot of angels along the way. And I think the key for us as humanity is to give recognition to those people that have helped us get where we are. Even the police officer that arrested me for that thing. See, and I think if we could put that in respective to human, then what we look at is, how do I pivot to my purpose? How does this catastrophic, I don't know, illness maybe? Look, I've been fired from every job I have. How do I pivot to purpose? See, that's my thing. How do I pivot to purpose? And for me, I'm from New York, so it's going to be all street smart pivoting. There's no way that I'm going to take a curve that is like something like 180 degrees when I can make that curve at 30. But what do we learn in any obstacle if we don't have to learn from each other in it, right? I'm not so sure I would have learned anything if it wasn't in context to other humans.
So this year, we're facing an unusual Thanksgiving. I think everybody across the board agrees with that. And, you know, we're always supposed to give thanks. But I want to talk about the F word, forgiveness. So, Jana, how do people need to find or need to ask for forgiveness? And why is forgiveness so difficult for people to extend?
Wow. I feel like it's so difficult to extend because we feel like we're saying they're right and we were wrong, right? So it's hard to forgive. Here's the thing. Forgiveness is the most selfish thing you'll ever do because it's really not for them. It's for you. So I've written blogs. I do talks all the time about forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't for them. You're not agreeing with them. Forgiveness is for you to put it where it needs to go, get it out of your life and move forward, you know, taking whatever pieces you want to take with you. So forgiveness literally is the most selfish thing you can give because it's all about you.
Well, you know, that's a fascinating way of looking at it. I read something, actually I wrote about it in my book, Never Letting Go, about how somebody asked the Dalai Lama about forgiveness. And he said, when you need to forgive someone, walk up to them, look them in the eyes and say, I forgive you. And then turn and run as far away from them as you can. And, you know, when I first read that, I thought it was funny. And now with what you said, it's starting to make sense. Yes, you know, forgiveness, you know, you're telling another person that I acknowledge what you did to me. It doesn't necessarily mean you're forgetting what they did because you're learning from it. But it's about us because, I mean, how many times do people, you know, and I'm going to pose this question for our listeners. How many times do you churn there at night being angry at someone or angry at something in your past? Dr. Pat, I know that we've talked about this a lot on the show, not just on our show, but when I've appeared on your show, the Dr. Pat Show. How do you find forgiveness as an important thing that people should be focusing on, let's say this Thanksgiving?
I want to ask Jana this question because one of the things I love, I'm right there with you on this. I learned that definition of forgiveness in a 12-step program. And I'm not going to talk about the 12-step program because they'll track me down. But I learned about it in that program. And it's one of the most difficult and transformative things you could do is walk through those steps. But I want to ask you this, because somewhere along the way, you got to change what's going on up here, right? Can you just share from your perspective, Jenna, about that? Because I know I'm talking very lighthearted about some of this, but none of any of it would have changed if I didn't change my mindset, right? I'm not saying I'm changing beliefs per se, but I'm changing my perspective on it. And forgiveness, isn't it one of those things to be able to say, look, I'm going to take this road. I don't condone what you did, but boy, am I letting you go because I need to release you from me. How do you work with people up there?
So I will tell you, I think mindset's a key to everything, because we have to change the way we think, the way we receive, the way we perceive. One of the things that triggered it for me was I now know that whatever mistakes other people are making, that's their journey, right? If you're an alcoholic, like I'm going to talk a little bit about my dad. My dad was an alcoholic. He left when I was 5. I had a lot of resentment and hate towards him. We didn't have a great relationship. I could have lived that victim life, poor me. But I was living that life. I went to his funeral and nobody knew who I was. It was his only child, his only surviving child. Nope. How do you know him? Like, it's my dad. And so I'm sitting at his funeral, and he had been an alcoholic for years and got clean 20 years before he passed. He became a workaholic after that, because I guess he filled in the gap. But having said that, I'm sitting at his funeral and I'm watching, there's this line of people, the funeral was 4 hours long, and person after person after person kept coming up to the mic and saying, when I met Lonnie, I was in the streets, my wife had thrown me out, I was homeless, and he picked me up and he was there. And all of a sudden, it was like an angel tapped me on the shoulder and said, are you getting this? I realized my dad's life's purpose was to be an alcoholic, a drug addict, to go through that, because his life purpose wasn't to be a dad. He sucked at it. But had I had him as a dad, he wouldn't have been living his life's purpose. And I released it right there. I never had any resentment towards my dad afterwards. It was a huge mind shift. I saw the good he did. And had he been my dad, he couldn't have done that, right? So now when something's going on and I have to make that shift in my brain, I know that person's on a journey. That person's on a journey, and I need to get out of their way and just love and support them through it and see where that takes them. Hopefully they'll figure it out.
Well, Thanksgiving is a time to focus on family. And I'm really glad that you brought that up, because, you know, not everybody grew up with the Brady Bunch or the Waltons family. I mean, you know, it's like, I remember being a kid watching these TV shows and seeing this idyllic Thanksgiving special where everyone's all cheerful sitting around a turkey. But I think, and what I've seen in my work, not just as an attorney, but also especially as a medium, is the hardest forgiveness is forgiving yourself. And I was conducting a reading for a man, and he said that he was so overcome with guilt that he was caring for an elderly parent who was getting very, very difficult and who was dying of cancer. And he just got so frustrated with the dementia, the sundowner syndrome that the doctors weren't telling him or his family. And sundowner syndrome is when it starts getting dark, elderly people become agitated and irrational. And there's several theories biologically why this happens. And in his frustration and caretaker fatigue, he said, I wish you would die. And then he caught himself and realized what he'd said. And even though his father lived another month before passing, and even though every day after that, he kept saying, I love you, I love you. And during the reading, his father's spirit did say, you know, stop beating yourself up. But this man simply cannot forgive himself. How do you recommend, or what would you suggest to somebody who finds it so difficult to forgive him or herself?
Well, first of all, when you wish someone dead, sometimes that's not a negative. His dad was suffering. Like, he wanted him to be in a place of peace. And we all go there. My husband's a veterinarian and he has to do a lot of euthanasias. And we're kind of fortunate in the animal realm that when our animal's in pain and at the end of their life, we can help them along. And we're not able to do that with adults. And sometimes we see that suffering. Again, forgiveness is selfish, right? So even when you forgive yourself, it's for you, right? So, and honestly, I don't think any bad, I remember plotting to kill my mom as a teenager because she told me no to something and I'm thinking of how I can gas her at night, right? And I know that the cops are going to come thinking I'm a psychopath, but I never did it. So I just thought it, but I didn't have guilt about that because I understand now as an adult, it's a process a teenager goes through. I'm sure we all wanted to off our parents at some point.
Yeah, I mean, teenagers. Yeah, I represented a lot of juvenile clients, and unfortunately, sometimes it actually too. But in the, let's call it, you know, mainstream society, that doesn't happen. But yeah, it gets very frustrating. And you know, the people that we love are the ones that can, they know what buttons to hit. I mean, nobody can really tick you off as much as somebody you love. You know, people you don't know or don't care about, they may be irritating, but nobody can punch those buttons the way someone who loves you or somebody you used to love, as in divorces. And it's a very good point. Forgiveness is selfish. So let me ask you this, Jana, is being selfish always a negative thing?
I don't think it's ever a negative thing to care for ourselves first. All we have control over is ourselves. So what we do with ourselves, as far as what we feed ourselves, how we nourish our minds, how we nourish, you know, our relationships, we're in charge of that. It's the only thing we are in charge of. So it's never selfish to be doing for yourself. So as a mom, I remember the kids having the flu, all of them having the flu, and then I catch it. All I want is one day by myself to lay down, right? And you can't, because one's throwing up and the other is, you know, maybe back to school, and it's craziness. But taking the time to take care of myself helps me show up to be a better mom, a better wife, a better human being. So it's not selfish. And I just think that, I don't know why it ever became selfish. I think it's something embedded us into us as kids to always be doing for others, you know, always showing up for others. And it's just a hard break to get out, but you need to remove that block in your mind because it is never selfish to do for yourself first.
Mark, I want to say something to you because I think you, I don't want this to go by. I don't want it to be overlooked. In the world that I live in, your body of work and what you just described and your work with that individual, there's nothing more powerful than witnessing another person. There's absolutely nothing more healing than to have a compassionate heart and a compassionate set of eyes and a compassionate stance, fifth, sixth dimension, whatever you want to call it. There's nothing more powerful for somebody that is that wounded. And I call it in a very, I'll just be clear, wounded in a way that they cannot let go of something that's so holding on to them, that resentment. And Mark, you have to acknowledge the body of work you do, because all of these people you speak with, all of the connections you make for them that they can't make for themselves, every time you do that, you're healing a part of them. And I just didn't want to, Jen, I didn't want to go by without acknowledging that. You know, that is something that we too often don't do. You know, there's a reason I did not pick clinical psychology. I could not listen from a clinical pathological perspective, because then I'm not listening to understand, I'm listening to diagnose. And so what you do, Mark, is you listen from such a pure perspective. And that is really a gift. That's angelic to me. That's a Thanksgiving gift that many people wish they had right now, I think.
Well, I appreciate that. And also, that's what you do as well, Dr. Pat, in your work on the show and what Jana, you do. And that's why we're having this show for Thanksgiving, because sometimes giving thanks isn't, oh, I won the lottery, so thank you, thank you. I mean, that would be nice, but we're giving thanks for the reason we're giving thanks for things that are taking us to our very core. In 2020, particularly during the lockdown back in March, I live on a barrier island in Florida, and I noticed for the first time parents with their children, people walking, you know, and everybody walking in the morning, and everybody, all of a sudden, people were spending time with their kids. People were spending time with each other. And yeah, it was difficult. And yeah, you know, we're all having difficulties with work. But what we have seen through this is it's kind of been a reset button. A lot of families have lost loved ones. So now they're reflecting on that and what, you know, you grieve as deeply as you have loved. And so now they're experiencing the grief, which is in direct proportion to the love. And people are realizing what really is important. Is it all about material gain, success, and getting ahead? Those are are wonderful objectives. But what I'm hearing both you, Dr. Pat, and what you're saying, Jana, is that this Thanksgiving, what we're seeing is what is truly important is the people we love, and that we must love ourselves enough to take care of ourselves.
Yeah. And we do it in different ways. And I think, Jana, one of the things I want to ask you about, if I could, there are many ways you're doing it. You know, one day you woke up and there you were. And I call it pivot to purpose. When something in your life looks like it's crashing down, you're giving yourself enough time to let that guidance in. And I want people to know how they can get to know you better, how they can follow you, how they can get some insight, how they can listen to your podcast. So if we could just take a moment to thank you and let folks know how they can plug into that juicy stuff you got going on, that would be perfect.
They can go to my website at janashort.com. That's everything will be there. I have a magazine called Best Holistic Life that I have an amazing writer right here. And so thank you so much, Mark, for contributing. But we have 170,000 subscribers who is just a year old. Its year anniversary is December 21st. So I'm really proud of that.
Oh, no. December. Do you know the meaning of December 21st? Mm-mm. Ooh, we got to talk.
All right. Go ahead, Pat. Article.
So you don't know about the Great Conjunction, and offline we'll do this, but here we are. On the 21st of December, like under my sign, but just saying, that planet Jupiter and that planet Saturn, they have never been that close. So they're conjunct and they're coming together. When you look at them in the sky, they look like they're going to collide. They are going to be degrees separated. The last time this happened was 1623. And it's under the sign of Aquarius. So when you hear people say, we're moving into the age of Aquarius, it's on that day.
Oh.
Wow.
Just thought I'd throw that in.
No, that's cool.
We can edit that out, but I just needed to go there for a minute.
So Jana, Best Holistic Life magazine. Now, certainly I'm biased since I'm one of the writers, but why this magazine and why is it so relevant right now?
Because it talks seasonally, right? And it's about holistic lifestyle. So it's got the mental aspect, the spiritual aspect. It even has like nutritional aspect. There's so many different aspects from the incredible writers that I pulled together in the magazine. There's no ads in it. It literally is a magazine to help keep you moving. And so we make it seasonal so that like winter, I know winter gets darker. People have more depression coming out of the holidays. So we do a mindset, mental health issue going out. So it means a lot to me to be able to offer Best Holistic Magazine to the many readers. And every time we put it out, it seems like it doubles in size. So I feel like I pivoted in a good space.
Well, and what I know from my work with Best Holistic Life magazine, you know, it's not some airy-fairy granola publication, okay? And I don't mean that in an insulting way. This is a 21st century publication. This is taking a holistic, not just in the H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C, but W-H-O-L-E. It's a whole mind, body, spiritual approach. And a lot of people tend to think that it seems to cater strictly to a female demographic, but I don't see it that way. And so for our male listeners, how does Best Holistic Life magazine give them clues and keys and guidance for success?
So we do have male writers, but I will tell you, I had a former NFL player, a big time NFL player, who reached out to me and said, I want to share my story on your podcast. I'm like, we take stories of hope. And he goes, Jen, I have one. And when he came on the show, his name's Brett Lockett. When he came on the show, I was enthralled in his story of hope. I was so mesmerized by it. Then he wrote an article for the magazine, which really, I think it was part of our growth because he's reaching the younger men of the upcoming world and how important it is to take charge of your life and to, you know, you write your story, no matter what that looks like, you write your own outcome. And I was enthralled by it. So those are the kind of stories that the men are going to see in the magazine.
Yeah, I think that's really great because what I like about the 21st century is men are finally beginning to realize it's not a bad thing to express their feelings. You know, my dad was a Navy SEAL, but he left me with two very important messages. It's okay to tell people that you love, I love you. And there's nothing wrong with crying for someone you love when they've passed. And I think that it's very important for men to learn these things. And also when you are providing a forum for a very alpha male role model, NFL football player, to express his vulnerabilities, like you're talking about, and his authenticity, I think that really helps. So, Jana, where do you see yourself going from here? Okay, you've got Best Holistic Life magazine. You've got the Oh My Health, There Is Hope podcast. What do you foresee for you in the year 2021?
So my goals are always health and family. Business is just a secondary for me. It really is always health and family. If I'm not healthy, I can't be doing this. And my family connections are the most important thing. I think Dr. Pat hit on the real meaning of Thanksgiving. Every single one of us, we have the same thing in common. We're looking for love, human connection, and forgiving of ourselves and others. And so it's been a beautiful message throughout this whole show because that's exactly what connects all of us together, what our uniqueness is together.
And Jana, if you have a message for the whole world, what is that message?
Holy cow, there is hope. I don't care where you're at or how desperate it might seem, do not give up because there's hope and it's okay to ask for help.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Psychic and the Doc. And I'm the doc part of this conversation. We want to wish all of you out there the most amazing, amazing holiday. And don't forget, stepping into this new year in the place that you deserve. Absolute infinite potential. And we're right there with you. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to Psychic and the Doc with me, Dr. Pat, and of course, Mark Anthony, the incredible psychic lawyer, psychic explorer, and witnesser extraordinaire. Today, Jana Short is joining us here today. And in these interviews, they're short. You don't get to know all of what's in the heart of somebody, but today you all have gotten a sneak peek of this and of who she is. And part of this is to help you get tapped by your own personal angel. You know, that energy that's going to help you take that next step. Whatever that is. Some days for me, it was get off the couch and maybe wash your shoes. No, don't wash your shoes. That's not good. Wash your socks. Wash something. But today, Jana's joining us here today because she has taken her passion and purpose, that thing she did pivot to, from an obstacle, from a challenge. Jana, it's great to have you one more time. I would love for you to share how people can get to know you, connect with you, and join the vibe.
Well, people can find me at janashort.com, but I also have Best Holistic Life magazine. So there's bestholisticlife.com, but all of my connections, social media, magazine, book, everything is on the website. So you can go there and find everything you're looking for.
And I want to ask you about this. So look, when I started this, I'm a kid from the projects in New York. The fact that I'm doing a show like this or even able to say the word psychic, it's like a miracle. But the word holistic was not a word that I looked up and learned about. Like you, like Mark, we had to go through giant obstacle to understand there was more than just the moment we're in, more than just this or that, more than the job, and more in the realm of healing. What has holistic come to mean to you today?
Holistic literally gave me my life back. So it means survival. It means a healthier whole way of living. So when I was sick, I was told I was going to die and sent home to die. And I came home thinking I was going to die. This is where that mental shift comes in your head. My daughter had a new baby who was 9 weeks old. So I was there at his birth, been in the hospital for 9 weeks, and she brings him to me. And I remember thinking, how will he remember me? Like, I'm going to be gone. He's so little. He won't know simplest things like what I smelled like, what I laughed like, or what it felt like to have, you know, have grandmas kiss you and hug you. He's not going to know any of that. He will not know me at all. And I was desperate to make a memory. And I got on my keyboard. I come from a pharmaceutical background. Husband's a veterinarian, ex is an internist. I only know medicine. And these very smart doctors told me there was no hope. And I got on my computer, desperate to make a memory. And I typed in those words, desperate for health answers. And all of this holistic stuff started popping up. And honestly, I felt like the dumbest person in the world because I was like, what? Is this new? No, it's not new. It's ancient. It's stuff that we've had access to all our lives. How am I 51 years old and not know anything about it? And so I just started researching more and more. And the more I did not want to go back to interior design, I educated myself in the holistic field. And if I don't know about this, there's others out there who know nothing about it. And it made it my mission to make sure people knew they had options, right?
So that was your aha moment, is what it sounds like. And that brings me to my question. You know, people are constantly asking, well, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? And a lot of what you do is to help people find that. But you can't tell somebody what their purpose in life is. So how does somebody recognize what their purpose in life is?
Wow. You know what? You know already. It's been yelling at you this whole time. Like when people are breaking up out of relationships or doing something wrong, we have that intuitiveness inside of us already telling us, bad thing, don't do it. And yet we tell ourselves, oh, it's okay. And you make excuses for it and you do it anyways. You already know what your purpose is. You really do. It's been embedded in you. That wasn't my purpose. All of a sudden, God had to take me, or whoever my higher power is, had to put me in a position where I was willing to receive that message. And so I don't want to go there again. So I'm totally open to any messages being sent to me. But I definitely, as an intuitive and empath, I think, and knowing that I was since I was 16 years old, I think I was super in tune to listening to that message. And so I knew that that was my journey. And the minute I, like I said, leaned into it, nothing but joy came out of it. So I knew I was on the right path.
I think that's really important for people to understand that they actually have to listen to their inner self, their inner voice. And that's part of the holistic approach, is calming your mind. You know, meditation doesn't have to be an hour or 2 hours long. It can be a couple minutes, but you need to get that inner quiet so you can listen to that inner voice. And you're right. How many times do people say that, oh, I'm trapped in a relationship? Well, how is it that you're trapped? Aren't you agreeing to be trapped in that relationship? And once you realize that you are in control of your life, doesn't that then give you the key to the cage?
Well, it should.
It should, but sadly, in many cases, it doesn't. So what do you recommend for people to quiet their mind, to get into a more healthful mindset?
So meditation is really hard for me. I do it, but it's very hard. Here's my meditation process. How much longer? It's only been 30 seconds. My nose itches. Am I allowed to move? Wait, did I close the door? Like and unplug the, like my brain constantly goes. So it's really hard. Someone once told me that if you close your eyes and look for the colors, all of a sudden these colors start happening and it gives my brain something to track and process. So it's a little bit easier, but I love to journal. And here's why. I feel like my journals are gifts to the world afterward. Those little moments that I'm writing down are those little dreams or aspirations I'm putting in there. When my mom passed away, she did not share feelings with us. She was didn't come from that era. But we found a book that she started journaling. It was her grateful journal. She did it for like 3 days. That was over it. But when we found that, my sisters and I'm the oldest of four girls, and we found this journal, and there was a little piece for each of us. Like my mom said, I'm so excited when Jana called. I'm so grateful that she calls me every day just to say hi and for no other reason. And I cut that little thing out in her writing and put it with a picture of us and framed it, because that meant so much to me. It was coming to her after a life, right? So I know all these journaling that I do to get those thoughts out, to process, that one day I was going to be a gold mine for my grandchildren, my kids, to know what I was processing, how much I loved them and what they really meant and how proud I was of them. So journaling for me is really important to do, and it helps me get centered, zoned, and feel like I'm putting it out all in paper.
You know, Pat, when Jenna was describing about how she tries to meditate, and she said her mind's going on, and I could see you nodding as well. And you know what? I fall into that too. And as a psychic medium, people expect me to be going around like, oh, all the time. I found that the most effective meditations are 3 to 5 minutes. It's simply taking the consciousness that is your blackboard, and it's all covered, or whiteboard, it's all covered with these thoughts and emotions, and erasing it just so you can get to one thought. And you don't have to sit in a semi-conscious state for hours on end. You just need a chance to clear your mind. And Jenna, what you're saying is that it doesn't necessarily have to be formal meditation. Journaling, in other words, it's something that you enjoy doing that pushes away all those distractions. That's what it sounds like.
It is. It's definitely my quiet space. And though my mind is moving, I'm putting it on paper. So we're kind of doing the same thing in meditation, right? We're receiving right. What our brain is sending us. And here I'm just putting it out on paper, and it works for me.
Okay, Dr. Pat, how do you clear your brain? This ought to be good.
ping pong. Okay. I have a table tennis table, and I hit a little white ball. And that quiets my mind. But there's another part to this for me, just like with you, Jana, described. It is, how do I get guidance? So I used to do everything you're talking about. I took hot yoga. I took cold yoga. I took stand on your head yoga. I mean, honestly, I went out in the desert for 11 days. And by the way, I did journal that. And thank God I did, because when people ask me about my experience, I just read from my journal because I couldn't tell them. So it's very effective journaling. But I learned one thing. I need some insight. And so I sit down, albeit a really short period of time, and I just say, Earth, God, Goddess, whatever you call it, what is mine to do today? And I ask that question. And I guarantee you, if you all ask that question within 1 second to 3 seconds, you will get an answer. That's not the challenge of meditation. The challenge is, are you going to do it? Some days what it is cook the meatloaf. The chopped meat will go bad. 5 days of ground beef in a refrigerator without cooking it is no good. Cook it. Just throw it in the oven. Cook it. Other days, it's watch a movie. And I got to tell you, I watched a movie not too long ago. It's still one of my favorite movies, but it's scary. And I had to journal after I watched it, because something in this movie triggered something in me that needed to be healed. Now, I got to tell you, it's like a quiet place. It's a little scary movie. I watch anything Emily Blunt is in. I don't care what she's doing. I watch it. Mesmerized by the movie, but I had to journal about it. Because the theme in the movie was they had to stay quiet. They couldn't speak. So my hot button as a stutterer at a very young age was that. And so the triggers we get, what are we going to do with them? Are you going to hold them in? Or are you going to do what Jana said? Are you going to find a way to let them out? Because these things that we get triggered are there to help us move forward. We just don't know what to do with them. And I think what you're talking about here and what you've created, Jana, is you know, sometimes we just have to plug into a different energy and a different vibration, even if we don't know what it is. Sometimes you have to write something that comes from a movie called A Quiet Place, that most people cannot wait till Quiet Place 2 comes out. And I will probably journal again. But sometimes we have to empty the portal. And that's what your journaling does. It allows it to come forward and come out. And if we don't let things come forward and come out, can you imagine the buildup from 365 days of a year, from 10 years, 365 times 20, 365 times 30, times 40. Can you imagine the accumulation of what happens to us with that? And now just 1 year, 365 days of COVID-19. And I pray people find a way out. And you're helping them do that.
Thank you. You know what? I think that you like really hit it right on the head. I want it. It's okay to be in a dark space, right? I don't want to dismiss it and say everything's rosy and you should see it as that. That's okay. We just don't want you living in that space. It's okay to go through grief. You just can't live in that space. It's okay to go through anger. Just don't live in it, right? And so you want to move into a healthy space for you. All those emotions you're feeling right now, all those fears, concerns, anxiety, those are all normal. We're all going through it. We just don't want you to live in that space. We want you to move out of it, take that with you, and move into a better space.
Yeah. The worst moment of my year this year was when my table tennis robot broke. Now, you may be thinking, seriously? No. Because hitting a little white ball where everything around me stops and I have to focus on a ball coming at me at 60 miles an hour and hit it that way. And I don't want to show you the black and blue marks I have from not focusing. But whatever it takes for people to find that release, like you talked about, whatever it takes, it's enough. You're enough. It's enough. We're enough. You know, ping pong, shooting craps, whatever, I'm not shooting craps, but ping pong, whatever that is for you, however you spend it, and then feel this release and letting your heart open, it will help us all to a kinder place, I think.
Yeah, what I'm hearing from both of you is that it's the distractions in our life that create the negativity and the stress and get us off the track. And so it doesn't matter if we're sitting on a mountaintop meditating or journaling or playing ping pong. For me, it's walking. I like to walk. It's getting to a place where I notice that when I start walking, all the things that bother me, by about a quarter mile into it, I can't remember what those things were. And that's the whole point. And I think this Thanksgiving, we've got a lot of distractions and a lot of negativity going around us. So whether you're spending it, you know, social distancing with family or by yourself and having a Zoom or Skype Thanksgiving, remember, it's only a distraction because you do love your family, you do love your friends, and most importantly, you do love yourself. And so for this Thanksgiving, give yourself an extra helping of helping yourself. And I want to thank you, Jana, for being our guest. How can our listeners find out more about you?
They can go to janashort.com and find out about me there. There's tons of good stuff for you there.
There is. There's blogs. There's your book. There is your podcast. And so I recommend very highly everybody go to janashort.com and become a subscriber to Best Holistic Life magazine and tune into Jana's podcast, Oh My Health, There Is Hope. Thank you, Jana, for being our guest. And as always, Dr. Pat, you hit the nail on the head.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into The Psychic in the Doc with Mark Anthony and me, Dr. Pat Basile, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, look, come back next week so we can explore with you more of life's many challenges and learn from fascinating guests. And you know what? Even Mark and me. We'll connect you and discover insights from people in this life and from the afterlife. Extraordinary problems, yeah, they do. They require extraordinary solutions. But step into the world of possibilities with us on The Psychic and the Doc. That's every Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com. And don't forget, we're also live face-to-face on Facebook.com, Transformation Talk Radio.